What is the value of generosity if someone is getting rich unlawfully and then gives part of it to charity? Karma will get you in the end. it's just how it works. You reap the fruits of your actions, and if your actions are, say, immoral, unvirtuous, unlawful, then you'll reap the fruits of that. You'll also reap the fruits of that generosity. But they have different results, and they have a different fruit or impetus in the mind when it comes from a pure heart or a virtuous heart, as opposed from kind of a scheming. How do I get some merit out of my money that I've stashed away? But the results are different. But then also one of the things of generosity is that it's something that anybody can do. Anybody can be generous. Anybody can give. And at least that much. It's good karma. These are blessings that can come from one's life. I know people in because Thailand is a Buddhist culture, and it's 95% Buddhist, so it's an incredible juggernaut of culture behind it. Then you get a lot of different people. Supporting monasteries and being generous in different ways and within the culture as well, within the society. And oftentimes it's that generosity that opens the door to having contact with something that is better, is higher, is an opportunity to sort of say, I need to make some changes in my life. There can be a benefit arise from it, even if it doesn't come from a good intention. A person I knew who, he was attracted to kind of Ajahn Chah's charisma, and then wanted to make offerings, and it was that this is in. Ubon in the northeast of Thailand, and it was right at the time when there was still a big American Air Force base in Ubon, 5 to 10,000 Air Force personnel, a fighter bomber base, lots of bars, and he owned a string of bars and nightclubs, and it's not a great livelihood. But he kept, if something drew him, and so he was very generous. So then he coming close to Ajahn Chah, and Ajahn Chah sort of drawing him in, and then he said, if you really want to take these, say, Buddhism seriously, you got to be keeping the precepts. And if you're making a livelihood in the way you're doing, you're never going to be able to do it. And it took him a few years. Because he was making good money, he was making a lot of money, and it's kind of in the was kind of an exciting life. He was still fairly young then. But he just kept reflecting on that and what Ajahn Chah was encouraging him. And finally he sold them all to his brother and just started a whole new livelihood, because his brother wasn't going to quit. And I remember him talking about it to me one time, and saying, you know, when I first sold my businesses and thought, I really didn't know how I was going to make a living and how to make it in a way that I could keep the precepts. But I always kept to the precepts, and those first years were quite difficult because I tried this and tried that, and this failed and that failed. But one thing I never did was compromise the precepts. And then his life really started to turn around as he continued to experiment, and so that he ended up really establishing a good livelihood that was also able to look after his family very well. He was quite... he was very happy with his life. And he was very grateful to Ajahn Chah, because without that sort of encouragement that he'd received by drawing close to him through generosity, he would never have made that change in his life.